Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible. The first question is from Leslie. She's out of Seattle, a city that I love, lived in for some years. Think, boy, you people got it made. She asked, why don't I love myself?
That's a very important question, because it's very prevalent. And what Leslie is doing is admitting it to herself and out loud. And so I have a lot of respect for that. These are the kind of questions that precede the healing of the discomfort that's beneath that question.
Yeah.
And so, Leslie, this is a big step. You're admitting to yourself a place that you're wondering, where's the love?
It's probably something all of us, to some degree or another, feel, but are we as honest as Leslie to
exactly
say
vulnerable
it?
As Leslie.
Vulnerable,
but
yeah.
That's the crucial first important point of healing and improving anything. And then I'd like to look at it a different way. There's not two of us, and it's like, do I love myself? That would, just for openers, imply one of the quandaries about this, because we never do love ourselves. So to answer this question, it's
I'm trying
not,
to follow.
Yeah, well, I'm going to want to approach it from several different directions.
Yeah,
it's not quite the objective to have, because you're never going to step back from yourself and say, I love myself. I'm going to say that there's other things going on that are just beneath that question. So here's one of the things that's beneath that question. You may not like in any given moment what you're feeling. And you could be feeling uncomfortable emotions, for example, in any given moment. And one of the more prevalent injuries that have human beings that we're still, each individual, more or less trying to work our way out of, is the feeling like there's something wrong with me. Psychologists know this very well. They've described it brilliantly as a concept. But when you're actually feeling shame, because that's what shame is, it's that hidden, that reclusive feeling that there's really something wrong with me. And I think part of that question of why don't I love myself is, from time to time, maybe 1% of your day, maybe 90% of your day, it varies. These kind of things wax and wane. You've come into contact with that feeling like something's wrong with me. And so that's one major place to try and identify is it really that I don't love myself as a concept, or in the moment am I feeling like there's something wrong with me?
Yeah.
So what I'd recommend as a practice is, when that concept comes to you, Leslie, why don't I love myself? And you're right in the middle of that thing, because surely that recurs when you have something that intimate and that profound.
Yeah.
Then you've hit the language. Now ask yourself, what am I feeling when I don't love myself? What's underneath that sentence, I don't love myself? And what you'll find, I'll assert, give you a possible sneak preview. Can I give you a sneak preview? Because I have worked with this one, oh my God. And so have millions of people. Once they start on the path of how can I heal myself,
yeah,
they bump into that feeling like there's something wrong with me. Now there's something accurate about it. If you go beneath, well, when I feel something's wrong with me, I feel shame, I'll ask you, well, what do you feel? And you'll, the deeper feeling is, there's something wrong. And that's the accuracy. Because, let me come at it from another angle. What if it were true that there was a real us, and then there was all the accoutrements, all the thoughts and feelings and distractions and worries and concerns, that that's part of being a human being. And yet there's only a real part of us and an add-on and PTSD and injuries that have occurred that we're in this lifetime trying to also heal these things. Well, I'm implying that this stuff, there's something wrong with me and I feel empty and lonely, and that this isn't the real us, but there is a real us. And the real us is, and we can see it in each other more commonly than we can see it in ourselves, is we're beautiful. We're an individual, precious being. And everybody is. And every animal and every tree. Everything in creation is so deeply beautiful and sacred and amazing. And that's what's beneath the surface. But when we're distracted and we're not seeing that in each other and we're not feeling that, because what is it? Like, you might look at a friend or a spouse, and there could be a moment where the clouds clear and you see the beauty. Even when they're upset, or even when they're at their best. What you're seeing, you're experiencing their soul, their heart, the deepest part of them, and that's what's real, and that's the only thing that's real. And what's more is since we're all, oh God, get ready for this, we're all part of divine love. That's who we are. We're all different sparkles of the divine, and that's the only thing that feels real. So when people look at someone and all of a sudden they feel love, or they see how precious their dog is, or their cat, or they see how precious their kids are. Well, the kids have always been precious, but the moment when you actually see them, what you're seeing is the real them. And then what you're experiencing is the real you. When you're feeling love, when you're thinking a sunset is beautiful and you're not thinking about work and stuff, and you're feeling your dog and you're going, oh God, it's so cute, you're feeling universal love. And then the more conscious, the more awake we become, we realize that we're part of that. And the basic energy that we are is that. And why people meditate. Well, the ultimate intention in meditation is to be able to show up in the moment really. And then when you really show up in the moment, you get to experience the beauty of being alive, the miracle of breathing, and the miracle of the love and the stillness and the peace and the joy that we are at our core. And I appreciate your being able to stay with me this long, because the injury, the illness, is we're not that awake very often. We're not conscious of who we really are. And that's scary to us. We feel like something's wrong. And indeed it is. We're not connected to life in the moment, in the miracle of what's unfolding and what we're perceiving and being. We're connected to our mind or some story or some worry, and then it's fear. And then what does it feel to a human being to be disconnected? It's stressful. It feels wrong. It feels off. And then every psychologist on the planet knows that when a baby, for example, or a child isn't being loved, for example, really, sufficiently, they feel something's wrong. Their expectation as a baby or as a child is they're going to be loved by their parents. And that's their natural state. And then when they're not, they feel like something's wrong. But what does a child do? It feels like there's something wrong with me. It's too intimidating to a young being to think, well, there's something wrong with the world, or there's something wrong with my parents. And so many kids have been injured so much by thinking, but their parents were busy, or their parents were fighting, or their parents were absent, and they weren't getting the amount of love and which helps them connect to the love that they are. If you ever look at a baby, like, you know, it's one of the most precious example of it is how strong and amazing my granddaughters are. And I know what they grew up in. And I know the love that, so it helps them be themselves. And it doesn't mean they're not going to have their challenges. But you take a child who doesn't know the safety of that love, they think something's wrong. And the psychologist will tell you, and I'm repeating myself, that what they do is they don't go, oh, gee, I've come to Earth and it's so amazing. And my parents are so beautiful, but they're so distracted and they're so busy and they're so upset. Well, I'll bide my time. I'll continue to enjoy myself. At least I've got a roof over my head because I can't quite go out and go shopping yet because I'm four. But, you know, when I'm 18 or 16, I'll be able to go off and live the truth of my life because I'll be independent enough to do that. And bless their hearts, they're having a rough time. That's not what children do. They think there's something wrong with them, and that's the basic of shame. So, Leslie, you know, I'm covering a lot here. Well, why don't I love myself? Well, I'm saying it will, in the moments that you're not loving yourself, and I bet you it's not your constant experience, but it can really occupy your mind and your attention. Once you start realizing that, God, is there something wrong with me? You can spend a lot of time with that one as it circulates in and out. At the core of it is there's a feeling like something's wrong. And so if you go into that feeling, and here's the remedy, and here's the practice, you give that hurt, lonely person called Leslie, who feels like there's something wrong with me, I don't love myself, I don't even like myself, in fact, I hate myself, that being is hurting. That Leslie in that moment is hurting. So you have to give Leslie what she needs. And what she needs is unconditional love. It's the only thing that'll help Leslie heal that hurt, lonely, shameful feeling. Well, let me get more practical about unconditional love. I don't want to go just say, oh, go out and love yourself. Right. I want to give you the practice. You've got to do what any hurt. I'm going to give it to you in a metaphor first that I've given it to you before. If into this room right now a four-year-old child were to run in screaming at the top of their lungs, there's two things we could do, two choices, basically. We could say, stop, we're on a set here, and we're doing this program, and you go into another room, and when you're done with all that crap, you get rid of that fear. You can't grow up to adulthood and be that upset and be that. You got to control yourself. Go into it. Someone carry that child off. That's option number one.
Yeah.
Here's option number two. Come here, sweetheart. We were doing this show, but obviously you're here and you're crying and you're upset. Come sit in my lap. It's okay to be upset. I'm just going to hold you and you're feeling, it looks like you're feeling fear, but it's okay, we all came to Earth with fear. Or maybe you're feeling shame, like in Leslie's example. You come and sit here, and I'm gonna go silent, and you just cry. You continue screaming. I'm just gonna hold you.
It actually was in practice for me with my children when they were that age.
Yeah.
I didn't need to say anything.
Right. Exactly.
All they wanted was me to actually be present with them.
Yeah.
Hold them.
Right.
Let them cry.
Exactly. Well, part of the paradox or the miracle of life on Earth is we can get that from our parents, but our true work is to ultimately give that to ourselves. So in a sense, we come to do the thing that our own self that's hurting. Beneath why I don't love myself is I don't love myself, I don't like myself, and I feel like there's something wrong with me. And those are the words, it's the feeling. So what do? You become the giver of unconditional love, and here's what it takes, just like you said, silence and acceptance. You don't tell your child to stop crying. And Leslie, you don't tell yourself to stop feeling bad. you say, I am accepting myself now for exactly what's going on in myself right now. And you breathe and you feel and you feel and you feel the shame. And if you do that, you are experiencing the truth, you're living in the truth, and you're giving your own being what it needs. It needs acceptance. It needs unconditional love. And it's not some ethereal concept. The unconditional love that it needs in that moment is acceptance. And the acceptance is you are conscious of the shame and you breathe and feel it. And I'll send you a written guarantee that if you develop that skill, and when it's appropriate, and you won't do it perfectly, you keep learning to allow what's going on you. You're learning acceptance. It's okay. It's a miracle to make it to where you say, I don't love myself. Because then that opens the doorway to the next step. And without that recognition, you don't get to go to the next step. With that recognition, when the shame really starts vibrating in there, and you can be at work, you can get so good at this that you can do it anywhere. On the car ride to work, on the bus to work, when you're in the middle of a business meeting, and you go, oh my God, here it comes. You don't have to tell anybody about it. It's not going to help to tell anybody about it. All you have to do is do the same practice. Oh, here's the shame. And you stay conscious of it. You're telling yourself the truth. The truth will set you free. Oh my God, it will. And part of the truth is, and this is where the practice comes in, is you allow the feeling to be exactly what it is. You allow the shame to be exactly what it is, and you breathe and feel that shame. And I'll send you a written guarantee that you keep doing that, and you're going to discover what it is to heal. And you're going to feel it. And if you don't have any agenda, like I've got to get over the shame, or I've got to heal the shame, or you got to let go of that kind of stuff, that's not unconditional love. Unconditional love is, I recognize the truth of what I feel, and I breathe and feel it. And what you'll find is it's just hurt energy. It isn't anything more than what it actually feels like to feel separate from the truth of who you are. You don't feel your own soul. You're not feeling your own heart. You're not feeling the reality of your connection to all of life. So, you know, it's a lot and it's not. It's one of the things we're here on earth to do. And if you do that, what does it open the doorway? You learn unconditional love of yourself, because that's what you're doing when you're accepting yourself. All of a sudden, you become a safer person for everybody, because you're not intimidated by their fear or their shame. So they feel safe in your presence. So it's the doorway to friendship. It's the doorway to love of others. It's the doorway to being present. So this is the big topic. This is what I Wonder Doctor is about.
I was just sitting here going, we sat down with a long agenda of questions and this objective right. to be quick, get right to them.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
And I'm going, I don't know what it's like to be on the other side of these cameras. Right. I know this side. I know what it feels like to sit next to you.
Yeah. And
may it be of value to people. It sure is to me. I love sharing these moments with you. So that's it for this week.
Well, for this segment.
For this segment. You know, we'll
to
be
continued
back
at 2 o'clock. Thank in you. Our emotional segment.
Yeah. Not our medical
our life
segment.
Emotional, this is our medical segment.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.